So you know how when your cooler's been sitting outside like all afternoon and you have to get to the bottom of it with your arm to get that last beer? Can you put your ass in that? Can you put your neck in that? Can you get your whole body in that? That's what this feels like.
What about your private parts? Can you put them down in that cooler with the beer?
I feel like you're not even thinking about your privates once you get your feet in there.
We're always thinking about our privates, Amy.
What do you think? Did he get him?
I mean, of all things to say.
What? What?
Family picnic sometimes. Gives you more than just a potato salad.
Are you kidding me, Mike?
Oh, my God. That is hilarious. Happy Thursday, everybody. It's the Dale Jr. Download from the Bojangles Studio. Dale Jr. is on his way. Have no fear. Dale Jr. is on his way. He's not late. He's in the school drop-off line, which is where we want him right now because this is giving us an opportunity that we've never had on the Dale Jr. Download, and that is for the next 15 minutes, Amy Earnhardt uninterrupted. Amy, good morning.
Good morning.
Amy, you are here because if I have this right, Dale Jr. told me the other day that sometimes you will listen to the Dale Jr. Download or catch a video on social and you'll see or hear him tell a story, and you're like, that is not how it happened.
100%.
He embellishes.
He likes to embellish. He's always, you know this about him. He likes to do that. He'll do it in your presence, knowing that you know the truth, just to get more of a reaction. That's just who he is. He likes everyone to be entertained. So, that happens quite a bit, actually.
Or he has a warped sense of reality.
Well, that probably is true, too.
I think that's probably a little truth to that. I think there is. And by the way, he wouldn't be alone. That's men.
I think men,
husbands especially, sometimes our reality, our vantage points are skewed.
Well, that's really good self-awareness, Mike.
Well, listen, I know it because I hear Dale, and I'm like, that's bull crap. I know that ain't how it happened. Although, I will tell him, he tells a story on Tuesday about you surprising him with the cryo tank, the cryotherapy.
Right.
I mean, we butchered this story. We, first of all, called it a chiro.
That's what he called it when he walked up to see the sign. I think he was so nervous, too, he couldn't even get his tongue to do the right thing.
Right. So if there's a story that he's told that I think is accurate, the closest thing to accurate, it's him hating for 10 seconds the cryo tank.
Yeah.
Or the cryo chamber.
Yeah. We sat in there for 3 minutes.
Here's what I want to do today. Before Dale gets here, I want to hear your version of this thing. Before Dale gets here. Now, when he gets here, I then want to hear that I think you guys did the ice bath that he mentioned on Tuesday's episode. He said that he was going to, with you, try an ice bath at the house.
Yes.
And did that happen?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to save that for you and Dale telling that together.
Okay.
First, give us your version of the cryotherapy, starting with your surprising of him.
Okay, so the only reason I wanted to do this, it's not something I would typically sign up for to do by myself. I don't like being cold either. But he keeps getting these Instagram ads, you know, the ads.
Wait, the algorithm knows that he's a potential customer?
He has talked about it at least once or twice. And so he's getting all of these ads for these different types of ice bath things that you can just put on your back porch, inflatables. I'm like, you can't fit in that. It's $20. It's going to fall apart. Well, that doesn't matter. Why are you buying this stupid thing? Why do you care about this? And he's getting these ads so often. Now he's really wanting one, right?
But did he buy one?
He didn't. And that's the reason he didn't is because I tricked him into doing cryotherapy.
Oh.
He had an obligation for NBC, and I knew it was in the area of Birkdale and that there was a cryo chamber place in Birkdale.
Okay.
And so instead of telling him to meet me at the address, I just said, meet me over there by the theater in Birkdale at 3:00. And he loves a surprise. So he was tickled to death that I was going to surprise him in the middle of the week, in the middle of the day. So he didn't hesitate whatsoever to accept. And so we get to the theater, and I start filming him immediately because he's excited and nervous, but he can't guess what we're doing.
He thinks, as he said on Tuesday, he thinks you're about to day drink.
He thinks we're going to go have a date. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, we're going to go eat sushi? Are we going to have, the movie theater. We're going to go watch a movie. That's awesome. I haven't been to the movies in so long.
Mario Brothers.
there's bars over here. I haven't seen that one before. Like, and then we get past this little spice place, and he sees the cryotherapy, which he calls chirotherapy. And I'm like, we're going in. He goes, what's chirotherapy? It's an ice chamber. You've been telling me you want to do an ice bath. He goes like, nuh-uh, you know, his typical response.
Yeah.
Like, we're going in. And so you don't have to have an appointment. We just dropped in and we did it together. You have to completely get naked, except for your underwear. If you do not have any, they will give you some.
Oh, wow.
I know.
Community underwear.
Community underwear.
What could go wrong?
So you have to wear a beanie if you're a man, and a head wrap for if you're a woman. They want your ears covered.
Okay.
You get socks, and you get slippers, and then you get a robe. So you can go in the cryo chamber by yourself, or you can go in together. Of course, we went in together. And we did level one, which is -145.
Yeah, stop right there. Is that an accurate statistic? That almost sounds like a NASCAR loop stat, where it's like, you know, they're trying to convince us that there was 2,000 green flag passes. That seems like a ridiculous, that feels like a non-survivable number.
I agree. It does. But, I mean, so that's level one. They say level four is -200.
See, that's even.
So as you sit in there, it does get colder. There's like wind blowing, and it will get more intense. It's almost like you're in a blizzard.
Oh, you don't start out there. It eezes into a
Well, I think once you open the door, it just lets some of the cold out. You know what I mean? Like the refrigerator.
Oh, I gotcha.
So you have to walk in. There's this giant door.
And what are you sitting on a bench?
No, you stand in the middle.
You stand.
Like a popsicle in the freezer.
Okay. Now, give a play-by-play of Dale Jr. as from the moment he walks in.
He walks in, and he stands right next to the front door. And he lets me do all the talking. And then the lady's like giving us both some paperwork to fill out. So he sits down and he's trying to fill out his paperwork. And I get mine done first. So he's frustrated. He didn't get a chance to wrap his head around what's about to happen, which is just kind of something you want to do.
That's the way you want to do
it. You want to mentally prepare, which I got to do. So I'm excited. I'm laughing. I'm just laughing at him. The girls are laughing at him because I called them in advance and said, this is what's going to happen. So we get checked in. They take us back to the locker room, and we get undressed, and we get in our robes. And he looks at me, and he's like, this is going to really suck. I'm like, it's going to suck for 3 minutes. You can do this. You know what I mean? Like, it's just three minutes of your life. And so we went in there, and you hang your robe up as soon as you get in, and you just stand and try not to touch the walls. It's not a big room. It's really small. It's literally like standing in a refrigerator box.
Wow. So
yeah.
It's that small.
Yeah. And
The two of you are in the same room together.
We're in the same one together. I start breathing almost like, you know, Lamaze labor breathing.
Oh, like
just like big, deep, slow breaths. And he immediately starts huffing and puffing, and his whole body is trembling. And he's like, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can do this. And so there's this light tube, by the way, that's up both sides of the door. And it's got this little white bar. And it goes up and up and up as your time is going. This is how you know when it's time to get out.
Oh, this is like a time meter.
Yeah.
It's like a clock.
Yeah. So every 20 seconds, the white will get higher and higher. And he's like, this. this.
And
he's throwing his arms.
And how far into it are we?
Oh, 20 seconds.
That's it.
If I had not been in that room with him, he would have busted out of that thing and run out without his robe to the locker room.
Right.
And he said that. He's like, if you had not been standing in there, my ass would have been running my underwear.
He's streaking in Burkdale. all right. So he says, this.
Yeah.
20 seconds in.
I'm like, you got this. Just breathe. It's okay. And he's like, my back hurts.
My back. It reminds me of that scene in Friday when the dude's on the ground. He's like, my neck and my back.
He's trying to claim that he's got like freezer burn on his back. He didn't touch the walls. There's no way he did. You know what I mean? He's not like got a hairy back either. There's nothing to freeze.
I know, but I could absolutely understand the feeling of burn in something that cold, right? Like that's...
Mine didn't.
Yours didn't. You were fine. Okay. So we're 20 seconds in.
I think he's just trying to make up every... He had mentally plummeted as soon as he walked in there. You have to...
No. I think he mentally plummeted before he walked in
there. Right, before he walked in the front door. He was pretty much upset about the whole
thing.
And then
when he walked in the door, it confirmed his mentally plummeting.
Yeah, yeah.
And by the way, I think I would be on his... I would be the same way. I'm not faulting the guy, but I am enjoying this imagery right now. Okay, so you're 20 seconds in. All right, mm-hmm. Now what happens?
I don't remember. So like the next 2 minutes is almost like me just trying to calm him down and watching the bar go up. I'm like, you got this. I feel like if I had been in there by myself and didn't have him as a distraction, I might have wanted to get out a little sooner too.
Okay.
But him being such a baby really, really was entertaining. We were dying laughing. The girls out front could hear us cackling in this chamber.
So y'all were laughing.
We were laughing our asses off. And he was like, when I tell you he was shaking, every inch of his body was bouncing and jumping all over the place because he could not sit still. It was amazing.
Okay, so how long did y'all last?
We lit the whole 3 minutes.
Oh, my gosh.
We did not quit. No, we didn't quit.
You weren't going to let that happen.
No. He wasn't going to let it happen either with me in there with him.
Okay, as an aside, if he wasn't in there, how long do you think, would you have gone the full 3 minutes?
I probably would have. I probably would not have had as easy of a time, though. Like, he distracted the shit out of me, so it was helpful.
So that was actually helpful?
For me, yeah.
It was entertainment?
Very entertaining.
Okay, so you go the full 3 minutes, and you're watching that light meter.
As soon as it gets to the last, we have 1 20-second increment left, he grabs his robe and he's holding it, and he's ready to jump out.
Yeah.
So as soon as it hit, he opened the door, and then I grabbed mine. But we did it. Yeah, it was it.
Well, but then the post-chamber experience also seemed just as traumatic for him.
Really?
Well, he was talking about these compression boots and that his body was shaking, and that's when the burn started setting in and all this stuff. Oh, is that not what happened? Tell us what happened.
He looked like he was about to fall asleep, except for all of his texting to you, like, you can't believe what she just did to me. He immediately got on the phone and was telling all of his friends what he just did.
Yeah. That's what I love about him.
Yeah.
You got to love it.
Yeah.
All right. So, okay. So.
So the boots are tight and they're long. So, like, my legs are not very long. I'm only 5'3". So they were squeezing all kinds of things they weren't supposed to squeeze when they got to the top, because she makes you zip them up. They're so high. She zips you up halfway, and then you zip for the rest of the way. So you lay in this chair that reclines for what seems like 20, at least 20, if not 30 minutes. It felt really long compared to the 3 minute torture that we just went through.
Okay.
But it massages you really, really deeply to try to get your blood flow back up. And it's relaxing. If you weren't distracted in that moment, you could fall asleep. It was nice.
So on the scale of man card here, I feel like Dale revoked his man card the day he and Duggar got mani-pedis. Like, that'll always stick out to me, that video of that.
Duggar gets a manicure and a pedicure every week.
I'm sure he does.
Yeah.
But I remember the video of them not only just getting mani-pedis, but they were giggling and tickling.
Because it tickles.
Right. What's more revoking of a man card, that or what happened in this cryo tank? Dale's behavior.
The manicure and pedicure, for sure.
Okay, so you actually, were you a little bit proud of
him? There was another guy that went right in front of us. He didn't giggle when he was in the chamber, but he was by himself.
Ooh.
And he must go quite often. He looked like he was working out, and he had just come from a workout. Apparently, that's what you're supposed to do.
That is what you're supposed to do. Yeah. Like, I can't imagine doing any of this ice therapy without the workout in front of it. Like, that would be the only thing. Isn't it supposed to help you recover?
Yeah.
Y'all weren't recovering.
This was a smart-ass choice that I made to try to keep him from putting a damn ice bath on the back porch.
But then y'all end up doing it.
Or building another room in the house for an ice therapy session. You know how he is.
Yeah.
Honey, I need to build another garage because I want an ice bath.
He's ridiculous.
Yeah.
He also just arrived.
Oh, great.
Dale Jr., welcome to your show. Dale Jr.'s here.
I've been listening.
You heard this?
Yeah, it's like you don't remember none of our conversations we had yet.
No, I need to hear Amy's version of it.
I hear you.
And are you saying that Amy wasn't telling the complete truth?
You.
Me?
Yes. I said, I'm sitting there listening, and I'm like, he doesn't remember anything we talked about.
No, I do, but like, she gives a lot more detail, and she puts us in the chamber. You just told us, you know, it sucked. Miss.
Okay.
I don't want it.
All right,
so, but you're saying this. All right, listen, to be honest with you, if you want to know the truth of it, and I said this on Tuesday, women are just way more tougher than we are.
We agreed on that.
More tougher.
Is that not right?
No.
They're just tougher?
More tough or tougher.
More tough? All right, there you go. They're also grammatically superior.
Annoying. Grammatically annoying.
So then you said that you thought if you didn't do this, Dale Jr. would just go create an ice bath in the house. But then this is exactly what y'all did, right?
Well, so here's the thing with the ice bath. After we did the cryo thing, Dale and I went to Sullivan's. We had some things to do for the construction we're doing down there, so we got a night away. A few beers in, I text Mitch Phillips.
Oh, you did that while we were sitting there?
Yeah. So we're sitting in the bar, and I text Mitch Phillips. I'm like, you know, Mitch, those cow troughs that they sell at the farmer's supply, I need you to get me one of those and put it on the back porch. He's like, all right. I'm like, we're going to do an ice bath. He goes, that's what I use for mine. It's going to be perfect.
Of course, Mitch Phillips does ice baths.
Yeah. Right?
So he delivered one to the back porch.
Unbeknownst to me. So I look out the back window, and there's this tub. And I knew exactly what it was for.
Yeah. big shiny silver tub just said, waiting for us to jump in.
I said, what are we doing that? She goes, yep.
So side note.
I felt like we had to.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I guess so. I got a text when I got out of the Grand Canyon from you. Like, it was one of the first texts that I got when I returned to the land of the living, which means cell service. And it was like, between you and I, we're doing an ice bath. You got to be there. You got to see this. Do you remember texting me this?
Nope.
Okay. Well,
so
you
that
did.
Must have been right after I text Mitch.
Okay. But I didn't get it till much later after you'd sent it. So I didn't reply.
Okay. Well, usually, that's not surprising anyway, really good, Mike. You don't ever reply
usually
to
Usually I'm really
messages.
Good at text replies.
Oh, so good.
You're so bad at communication.
So you guys do it. Now, Dale said you guys were going to do it on Tuesday's episode. I got to hear how it went.
Well, we fit that in yesterday afternoon. it was absolutely, can I say I just did.
We already have.
It's absolutely miserable.
Yeah.
Is it worse than the cryo tank?
Beyond.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yes.
So that was when we started, we did the box and the lady was like, wasn't she saying the ice bath was worse?
Way worse. Yeah, she said, I've done both. It is way worse.
I'm like, in my mind, I
that's
think
a
Amy's,
sales pitch, right? You thought for sure she was just blowing smoke because she wanted to come back.
I thought she was telling, I just assumed she was telling the truth. And that instantly made me think, ain't no way. I gotta do it to see. That's impossible. That what I just did in the box was miserable. And it's minus 140 degrees. The ice bath is like 30 to 60 degrees something. I don't know, but it's not a minus 140. So now my interest is even more piqued. Because, you know, that was what I wanted to do from the get-go, intentional, you know, from the start was the ice bath because it's so easy to acquire everything you need. And I think Amy was as curious as I was, and that's why she ended up getting doing the legwork and getting the tub. And so, anyhow, I did some very, very quick Googling. People are in those ice baths from 2 to 15 minutes. You just kind of pick your duration. I think it's pretty dangerous. You know, you need to know a lot about your own physical condition and stuff as far as any issues you might have with blood clotting and whatever, because it's going to restrict your veins in a very fast manner. It's probably something you need to do a little homework on.
Dr. Dale.
Just saying. It seems pretty...
It is.
It's intense as hell, and so you need to make sure that you don't have any issues.
Consult your physician.
Consult your doctor.
Well, when
Dale.
We went to the ice box, we filled out all these. I don't have this. I don't have this kind of condition. I don't have this issue. I haven't had any family history of this and X, Y, and Z. Right?
I didn't read it. I just checked all the boxes.
And so we, but anyways, I did some quick Googling and it's like, okay, you know, you fill the tub halfway with water. So turn the spigot on, put the hose in there, go to town, start filling it up. And we need 3 5-gallon bags of ice, 15 gallons of ice. So I called David Pittman, one of my buddies on the farm, and I said, hey, man, bring over a cooler full of ice. I said, I need about 15 gallons. He did. He brought 15 gallons of ice. Amy pulls in. I said, hey, it's all ready to go. We're doing it. Mm.
I went to pick up Isla. Where did I go? I don't know.
You ran to the post office.
I had to go to the post office. I told Isla, I was like, I'm really getting nervous. On the drive back home, I did not want to do this. Mm. I didn't want to do this from the beginning. I knew that he was going to hate it. This is why we started the cryo thing. You know, I've had my back thrown out a lot lately. And laying on that ice pack sucks. The thought of getting myself into an ice bath felt ridiculous.
It was easier to climb into the ice bath than it was the ice box for me. But anyways, I dumped all this ice in there. It was... I know, you know, we're talking about, this seems like it isn't that big of a deal, but when you're standing next to that tub full of ice, and you know, you just put 15 gallons of ice in it, and it's already a cold water spigot from outside, trying to get yourself to climb in there. And you know, if you put a foot in or a leg in, you're not going in. You got to go all the way in. Or you're not going in.
You got to almost go, quote unquote, dive in, or you'll get out.
So that's the thing.
Your brain will tell you to get out.
Right.
You can't do that with an ice bath. You physically can't do that.
I did.
You have to put one foot in first.
Well, yeah,
you
but
can't
I mean,
just
I know, but I know what you're saying.
You don't cannonball in, right?
No, but I mean, I'm just saying. I said I'm going all the way to the shoulders, water level to the shoulders as fast as I can, because I knew if I stopped at the waist, I was going to chicken out and jump out.
Feels a little like if you're bungee jumping, you know, if you got to get up there and mentally prepare yourself to actually commit to getting off that thing. Or if you sit up there and think about it, you'll stay up there, right?
I got in 10 seconds is all I could do.
And he got all the way in.
Yeah.
He jumped slid down to his shoulders and like heavy huffed for 10 seconds and then jumped out.
Amy's got it on her phone.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, we took a video, but we're both halfway naked, so I'm not showing you, Mike, but it's...
But not even him?
He saw it.
No. He would...
I want to see him.
Watch mine. Go ahead. Watch it. You could put the mic... Just hand it to
me. Here's what I think, though. So, I don't know. I think mentally preparing yourself is what made you get in there versus not having so much fun in that cryo chamber. You can't get into an ice bath without putting your feet in first and having to force yourself the rest of the way in. With the cryo chamber, you walk straight in. That's not true. Like a toe touches it.
I mean, but as soon as you, I guess when I open that door to the cryo chamber, you feel that cold and you're looking at the damn interior of that box is frozen. And you're like, I've got to walk into this thing. You know, it's a slower process where the ice bath was like, bam, I'm in.
If that volume's turned off, you have to turn it up.
Turn the volume up. Yeah, you want to hear all that.
All right, here we go.
And Isla's there with his giggling.
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't even get him. He gets out right after that?
Yes.
Hold on. I want to play it one more time. Isla's commentary is the best. Oh, that's so funny.
Dude, it's so cold. It's so cold.
So you know how when your cooler's been sitting outside all afternoon and you have to get to the bottom of it with your arm to get that last beer?
I've got a different example. Like when I'm cleaning deer meat, right? Like I'm pulling it out. It's been sitting in a cooler for a couple days. And now I'm pulling, when you go in, it is so cold. It is so cold. In fact, I often wear gloves just to do that because it's so cold at the bottom of that cooler. Same thing. That's what you mean.
Can you put your ass in that? Can you put your neck in that? Can you get your whole body in that? That's what this feels like.
What about your private parts? Can you put them down in that cooler with the beer?
I feel like you're not even thinking about your privates once you get your feet in there.
We're always thinking about our privates, Amy.
You know what's most sensitive for me when I go swimming is my waistband. And, like, I can go all the way in to my waist, and then that's kind of where I get hung up in a swimming pool. Mm. And then I have to go, you know, I could get in with my legs all the way to my waistband, and from there, from everything up, it's more sensitive, right? Yeah. But I think everybody's a little different there, but. I jumped in, I breathed, the only way, that breathing that you heard was like not voluntarily. That was not a voluntary motion, man. That was happening, whether I could, I'm not controlling that. But I was hoping that the shock of the cold and, you know, the sensation would chill, but it didn't chill. I had to get out.
Well.
But then, honestly, look, wait, so. Right. Amy tries to get in a couple times. She
I didn't want to
struggled.
Do it to begin with. I literally told him I
wasn't
going.
Oh, you went in after him.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I tried to get us to do it together, and he said that he wanted to do it first.
Yeah. And she had a harder time. But eventually.
I did not get anywhere past my waist.
She got halfway in, come out, tried again, put a leg in. Nope.
He come heckled back out. Me until I did it again.
I would give her a hard time.
Like
saying,
how? Give me an example.
You can do it. Not heckling.
I mean,
you can do it.
He wasn't cussing
come on.
At me because I listened.
You can do it.
Encouraging you.
You can do this. He can do this.
You know how he is. He stares at you until you do
persistent.
It.
Persistent. Yeah. Guilt treatment. There's a lot of words.
I just really wanted her to be able to come in here today and say, I've done it. This is the experience I had.
I listened.
She did. So wait, go Mike. Ahead. So eventually she's like.
We have a video of this part too.
Yeah. I said, hey, I'll do it again. I'll do it. I'll get back in there if you'll do it one time. Right. And she says, okay. And so she's like, we're both going in at the same time. So we both climbed into the tub together.
He pushed me in there.
That's
he
not
pushed
true.
My ass down.
That's not true. Wait a
I
minute.
Have it on video.
I do. I so
grabbed
she,
me, tried to hold me down.
No!
That water.
Stop that. So no, I get in
it.
All the
I'm
way to
show
my
Mike.
I get into my neck. She climbs in and just goes to pits. So she's got her shoulders out. And I just grabbed her shoulders and shoved her down.
Is that different than what I just said?
2 inches. I pushed her down 2 inches. It ain't like a dunker.
No, I think I think that's exactly
Mike,
what Amy's trying to say.
Well, I don't want people to get the opinion that I was
he was
going to
make
physical.
Sure this happened.
Hold on. Now people are going to think I'm abusive.
Oh, please. A and Isla's.
I didn't think you pushed her down that much.
All right.
It felt aggressive when you're in the ice bath.
No.
I was just like, hey, no, you're not going to just pit.
And he's in there with you. He's in there with you. So it wasn't as bad as I thought, actually. I think that. I think you'd actually handled the ice bath way better. You said you did.
Thank you.
He did. So I don't understand how he prefers that over the cryotherapy.
Well, the thing is,
he says he does.
All right, so they're right. The ice bath is harder by far. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes.
I got into the box and was able to, you know, thanks to you, stick it out for 3 minutes. Not a freaking chance.
No.
No chance.
No.
I'm getting beyond 10 seconds in that ice bath.
No, not a chance you go in.
The only thing the thing that I do find interesting is that I can get in the ice bath, in and out as many times as you want me to, but I can't stay in there. Now, the ice box, I think if I got in it and then came out, I wouldn't go back in. They're two different things. They're very, very different.
Well, it's air versus water. So, of course, it's going to feel different.
If I got out of that box, I would not go back in it.
So here's the thing about the box, too. As we were standing in there, the vent started to blow the cold air out again. So she told us level one, that's as cold as it gets. By the time you get up to level four, she said it's like a blizzard in there. It's like spitting out snow almost. There's like ice.
No thanks.
So did it get to 145 or did it get to 200? Negative 200.
Negative, negative 145.
It got to negative 145.
Yeah. That seems so hard to believe.
Yeah, it's, Well, I'm impressed.
Sounds like Mike needs to go.
Oh,
hey, I want to tell you something,
I think that's a great idea. I think we should take this on the road. I thought we were going to have to apologize for talking too much about ice baths and cryotherapies, but no, man, we got one more segment out of this thing, and that's you going to the ice box.
Well, no, I don't think I'm doing
that. We still have a free pass.
Yeah, you are.
We have a pass.
You're going.
Pass for you.
Here's what I'll tell you, because listen,
Everybody's shaking their head.
Morgan will do it. Morgan likes it.
Everybody's shaking their head, yes.
Yeah.
Do you, I appreciate that you come and you own your
flaws and
wimpiness and stuff. Okay. If you would like to know, I mentioned in our Grand Canyon story that there was more, but I didn't want to share it.
Oh,
do you want to know it? Yeah.
I just watched that clip on Instagram, and I'm dying to know. If you didn't poop your pants,
I would only say this because you've owned yours. And by the way, I said women are just tougher than us. Here's what happened. We hike out. I told you already that we were not supposed to hike all the way out. We were supposed to hike 4.5 miles, camp for the day, and then the next morning go the rest of the way, which is another 4.5 miles. The last 4.5 miles of the Grand Canyon is just straight up a wall, right? Like it's just, it's intense, right? My wife has been encouraging me to get in shape for this hike for months.
Yeah.
She even has on a chalkboard in her house, like 92 days until Grand Canyon. And I'm just like, pass the honey mustard. I've got chicken nuggets to eat, right?
Oh, man.
With 3 miles to go, I'm down a cylinder. I mean, with 3 miles to go,
miles is a freaking long way.
It is a long way. And now I'm down a cylinder.
Three miles is hard, flat.
But now you're in a space where you can't stop.
Exactly. There's nowhere to stop. I mean,
you should have stopped a mile and a half back.
Right. Exactly. You're committed. You're pot committed at this point. For the next mile and a half, there's a mile and a half rest house, and Lily is walking with me, and Gracie and Sarah are way up. They're
How
doing
far?
Well. As far as they want to be, frankly.
No, give me 100 yards, 200
yards.
Oh,
no, they're probably...
Can you see
them? They're probably... no, I can't see them.
Dang.
Okay, so we get... But I do see them at the mile and a half. They've waited for about 15 or 20 minutes for me to get there. And now with the mile
and now
and
they're
half,
refreshed.
Now in a mile and a half to go... I'm not only down a cylinder, but I don't have lug nuts on my wheels, and I'm struggling, and I got a mile and a half to go. They go on. Lily and I stand back. Lily, God bless her, she's 10 years old, and she's just there for support, moral support. At a three-quarter
she's
mile.
She's there for your life alert is what she's there for.
And I did. All right, so with three-quarter 10-year-old
mile, saves man's life.
With three-quarter mile to go, I'm now dead on the apron. And Sarah and Gracie have been out of the canyon now for a while, but they also, it kicked their butt too, but they, were. So I text Sarah because now we're high enough to get cell service. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm seeing three paths right now. I'm low on electrolytes. I can't, I'm dizzy. I'm like,
are you being dramatic, Mike? Or are you
no,
serious?
No, I don't feel like I'm being dramatic. Here's the thing. Much in the way Amy was your hero in that cryo tank, Sarah, who is exhausted, goes to the store, buys snacks, and hikes back down the trail and brings it to me.
She's got time to go to the store and shop and come back?
At the Grand Canyon canteen. She brings me snacks 3/4 mile down on the trail and hikes this thing again.
My gosh.
And brings me a Powerade and Snickers and things. And I'm sitting there on the side of the trail.
I can see Dale doing that.
And she's saying,
what?
Oh, and I have no shame
in my
game.
Let's just see Mike doing this. Let's just enjoy this. Don't put me in this.
And meanwhile,
I'm not in the canyon.
Meanwhile, Lily has on her face, she's not saying it because she's too sweet, but she's on her face that says, this.
Get your together, Dad.
I mean, God, you know, and Sarah then says, do you want me to carry your pack out too?
Oh, she's like, basically saying in front of your kids, your slip is showing. No,
but
Mike.
She was actually saying that out of concern for
you. Don't
me.
Think that was like a encouraging, get your ass up, let's go kind of a.
She would have been perfectly willing to do it. So basically, Sarah hiked 9 3/4 miles out of the Grand Canyon. She did the last part twice. Mm-hmm. Brought me snacks. I don't know if that's ever been done in the Grand Canyon Trail. I don't know if that's
probably more than you know.
And that was absolutely something that I was not prepared to tell anybody. But this podcast has to be owning the flaws. And if it celebrates how awesome our wives are, I'm here for it. Right?
That's right.
So
I like it, Mike. Thanks for being transparent.
Amy, you have an open invitation to just take over this show anytime you want. Anytime you hear Dale or me even tell a story that you think isn't jiving with reality, which means every week we say, you know, our realities are skewed. You come in here and correct the record.
She's going to come in here and take out the trash.
I'm going to just clean you right up.
Yeah.
Clean us right up. All right. Well, thank you, Amy.
Thanks Dale.
All right.
Let's do some show.
We had an awesome guest in the Bojangle studio yesterday, Mike. Hut Strickland came through here. You know, I've always thought a lot about Hut and seemed like a really nice, calm, well-spoken guy. Never really ruffled any feathers, didn't wreck people or do anything stupid. Had a long career, worked hard to get opportunities and make things happen for himself. Didn't know really much about how he got to cup racing, right? What got him to that opportunity. We learned a lot about it. And so I loved the interview, thought it was really compelling, and found a lot of things that were part of his life that were connected to my life.
That's right.
And people in town, like he built in Cleveland. He built his junkyard in Cleveland. I mean, my address is in Cleveland. So if you want to go back and listen to that, there's more profound connections than just Cleveland for everybody who hasn't listened to it yet.
Yeah.
And then we've got to celebrate him, which I love doing. Love celebrating people, Mike. We really got to celebrate him and show him the car that Josh Berry is going to drive at Darlington in a throwback weekend in the Xfinity race.
He did not see that coming. How could he see it coming? But still, the reaction that he had, he's so reserved and humble that he's not going to sit there and elaborate any more than he did. So, he's going to be tempered. Yeah. But it really meant a lot to him. It meant a lot
did.
To him.
I loved the interview. I love getting to know Hut more. I've never really talked much to him. But it's exactly what I love about the Dale Jr. Download and our ally guest segments is that's a great example of it right there. Getting to talk to somebody who's been in the sport a very long time that I don't know that well. I understand who they are, what their career was about, but getting to sit down with them for the first time really to speak to them. And it's like, do meet your heroes, right?
Yeah.
Every time we have somebody from the historical past that we admire, we've never been let down, never been disappointed in this show. So just a great time.
Can I admit what I think I'm most impressed by?
Go.
Only somebody so reserved and humble like that, in my opinion, of what I know of Donnie Allison, could be Donnie Allison's son-in-law and make it work.
Yeah, like, right?
I mean, I don't know. My perception of Donnie is just a hard ass, right? Like, and just kind of a grumpy just hard ass. Is that right?
No, not really. He's more like I'll tell you what to do. I know what to do. This is what you need to do. You should have done this. You need okay. to do this. He's gonna damn sure be. He's gonna be in your ear, advising
all the time.
Yeah, and he loved to do that. Donnie Allison did that all through the late '80s and all through the '90s with a lot of different drivers.
Yeah.
I don't see him as a hard ass. I'm not saying you insinuated this, but not a tough personality to be around.
Oh, I did insinuate it okay. for sure. I that's how I feel. And you know what? I have one Donnie Allison run.
He's not. But
I ran into him at a Talladega Media Center.
Yeah.
The Talladega Media Center, and he goes, he saw that I was wearing, I guess at the time, the Budweiser gear or whatever, and he's like, "You work for Junior?" I said, "Yep." "You tell that damn Dale Jr. blah, blah, blah." And I don't even remember what he said, but it was just like, he didn't even know me. He goes, "You tell that damn Dale Jr. this and that." And I guess you're right. He's telling you what to do or how to act or do whatever yeah. it is. I don't remember what it was, but I just remember going, "God, get me away. I got to get away. He's intimidating me."
Yeah. One of the other things that I find fascinating about the interview with Hut Strickland, every single time that we're going to sit down at this table with a retired veteran, the one question that I cannot wait to ask them, what is it?
How they dealt with their last race or getting out of the sport.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
Do you, when you got done driving, did you want to drive? Did you want to go race a late model somewhere or whatever, right? Like Bobby Labonte racing modifieds. Did you want to go race again? Did you want to step down out of the spotlight and the pressure and the rat race of cup racing and just enjoy driving a race car? And I'm surprised by a lot of these guys when they say no.
I am too.
And I'm envious a bit. Like, I love driving our late model car. I love that we're going to go to Wilkesboro and race the Sundrop car. I'm excited about whatever the future is with me behind the wheel of a race car. But I'm a bit jealous of how simple it is for them to go, "Yeah, I'm done." You know, when I got done in 2017, I kind of felt like, "Yeah, I'm done. I don't want to do it. I really did. But over every year since, there's this itch that's stronger and stronger year after year after year. Like, seriously. I mean.
Yeah. Didn't you get the sense, though, that he was just exhausted? For his story specifically. Everybody's I'm fascinated by the same thing. But he seemed just exhausted.
With his son running a development program, he could by all means put a very, very good race car out on the racetrack a few times a year and just have some fun. And he doesn't, or he didn't. I know now that he has a condition, a blood clot condition that doesn't allow him to race. But I'm just surprised by most of the people that we have here. That answer is, "Yeah, I don't need to do it." Yeah. I mean, I want to get Tony Stewart in here, right? And say, "Hey, Tony, you know, what do you not miss pavement racing, driving on driving a stock car?" I know he's enjoying what he's doing in drag racing. Hell, he's winning and probably having a time of his life, doing something he thought he'd never do.
Right.
But, you know, I wonder, is there something in the back of his mind going, "Man, you know, I'd love to go run a lap at, you know, Richmond or, I don't know, Martinsville somewhere." And they don't.
Well,
most people will say, no, I'm good. I don't get it.
He can, being that he's a team owner in the Cup Series. He can. We might not ever know about it.
That's fascinating to me. It's a question I can't wait to ask everyone that comes to this table. It's it is the number one question. It's the one we're going to get to late in the interview, but it's one that I cannot wait to hear the answer to, and I'm so anticipating it all the way through that whole interview with Hutt. You know, I don't know.
The one that – I remember we asked that question too, and the one that really still sticks with me is when we asked Mike Skinner that, and Mike Skinner said, "You know, sometimes I just feel like a bull put out the pasture, and he misses it so bad."
That's what I want to hear.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right. It does.
That makes sense to me. Even if Hutt and those guys don't race, I want them to say, "Oh, God, I miss it so bad." And maybe they do. You know, maybe they do, but it does them no good to admit it. Or maybe they don't want to even put that out in the universe, right?
I tell you the one I want to ask that for real right now is Kenny Wallace. Kenny Wallace made such a big deal.
Kenny's still
racing. No, hold on. He made such a big deal about going back to dirt because that's what he wanted to do, and that was his love, and he's having so much fun. But lately, he seems to be missing the NASCAR lifestyle, and he was so adamant that, hey, I don't need that politics. Go back to having fun where it's fun, and I can go to the racetrack and enjoy it and compete and all that stuff. I don't know. I'd like to know if Kenny Wallace is actually having that itch again, itch.
Kenny would come on to the show and tell us.
Yeah, I'd love to do that.
I think that Kenny is doing I think what Kenny's doing in the asphalt world with the race day show and all that is he's doing these things on his terms now. Mm. He's not doing them on someone else's schedule.
But that's so sporadic. I mean, talking about on a consistent, but who knows? The schedule beats you down. The politics beat you down. And in Hut Strickland's case, I think the nomad life and just the going into seasons after season after just having these one-year deals and this just kind of folding probably beat him down. But for most people, like you said, you know, you don't get to go out on your own terms, and so you wonder if how they handle the post-racing life.
All right, you got two games.
Two?
Yeah, we're so good at these. People are wanting more, so we're going to give them more games.
Yeah, it's the vacation from the vacation. We needed some, you know, fun, you know, after spring break type of game. So we got Guess the Driver, Tic-Tac-Toe is back.
Yay!
Sponsor edition, part two.
All right.
Dale mopped before with Mike 2 weeks ago, so we're going to see if he can go back to back here.
You know, yesterday during Hut Strickland's interview, I realized I was hoping we wouldn't have these games today because he's sitting there going, Hut Strickland is bringing up these obscure race teams and owners, and Dale's like, yes, the 68 car. Was that the Country Time car? What is it? And I'm like, God, these things. Like, it's only a matter of time. I'm just going to get annihilated.
He was practicing.
Rain Man is back.
He was practicing.
Rain Man's brain took a week
Which
or two
game
off,
we going to play first?
Well, do Guess the Driver, Tic-Tac-Toe.
Guess the Driver, Tic-Tac-Toe. Let's go. Yep. Who's going first? I won, so I think I should go first.
You go first. Let me set the board up first.
You're way
for the
too
listeners.
Amped up for this.
So across the top, we got Menards, Aaron's, and Budweiser. And then down on the left side, we got Burger King, Red Bull, and Pennzoil. So Dale, you can go first since you won.
God almighty, this sucks already. Pence, oh my God.
I'm going to do Aaron's and Red Bull.
Go ahead.
All right. Wait a minute. Just escaped me. It really did. Gosh, I can't think of his name. Brian Vickers.
Yes, correct.
Which one was this? But Red Bull
Aaron's
and what?
Red Bull right in the middle.
Aaron's?
And Red Bull.
So, Dale, you just took Brian Vickers off the board? I can't even use him?
No, you can use him, but this board doesn't have repeats.
Okay. What is there a time limit?
Oh, yeah.
What is it?
You got a minute and a half.
All right, hold on.
You're 15 seconds in already.
All right. Aaron's. I do know this one, but that's a square.
Mike went strategy last week and it blew up in your face. Yeah, so did, you might just want to get some ones you know.
Yeah. All right. Well, give me a 30-second countdown.
Or I just, got you.
All right.
30 seconds.
I'll go with the one I know. Pennzoil and Aaron's, which is the bottom square, is Waltrip, Michael Waltrip.
Correct. So back to Dale.
I got to tell you right now, the Burger King row is going to really struggle. I'm going to struggle with the Burger King row. I'm telling you what.
I'll go Menards and Pennzoil.
Okay.
Ryan Blaney?
Yes, correct.
Nice. Very good.
So Dale gets the bottom left. So now that top right, which is Budweiser and Burger King, if Dale gets that, he wins. So Mike, you might have to go for the block there.
Yeah, that's going to be a problem for me. He's got so I need to really study up on the Budweiser Burger King. Budweiser Burger King?
I know.
The hell? I mean, God almighty.
one of the two tougher squares, I think.
Yeah, I'd say so. all right, just let me think here.
You have 1 minute left.
Thank you. God, okay. God dang. All right, I'm going to take a flyer here on one. I mean, like.
Go for it.
All right, I'm going to just. God, who fucking drove a Burger King car? God. I'm going to say Wally Dallenbach.
No, incorrect. Was that for Budweiser Burger King?
Yeah, sure. Pick one, anyone.
No,
<know.
laughs> no, incorrect. All right, back to Dale.
Do you know this one?
Bill Elliott.
Correct.
Yeah!
Bill Elliott drove a McDonald's and a Burger King car?
I guess he did.
Yep. For Michael Walter Racing.
Are you even thinking about a Burger King car that Bill Elliott drove?
Michael Walter, right?
Yep, Michael Walter Racing, that 00.
Oh, for the love of God. All right. Wow, what an ass whooping that is.
All right. So I also have the Pennzoil Budweiser down bottom right corner is Harvick.
Yes, that was one of them.
Harvick.
Also could have went Darryl Waltrip on that.
Oh, that's right. Darryl Waltrip. All right. Okay, hold up. All right, let's just keep going here, Dale. Okay. Burger King Aaron's.
Burger King Aaron's, probably Michael?
Not Michael, no.
That's a great guess.
Great team, but.
Nemechek?
No.
Nemechek is the only Burger King driver.
Oh, no. I know who it is. Yeah. His dad, Rudeman.
Yes, David Rudeman.
David Rudeman. What?
Great pull.
All right. That was Aaron's Burger King.
That was Aaron's Burger King.
Wow.
That top middle. So there's three squares you guys
have guessed. So you got Menards Burger King?
I mean, the Burger King deals.
Did Landon Castle ever run a Burger King
car? He did run a Burger King car, yeah.
All right, so now I can think of two people that ran Burger King.
Oh, yeah. All those guys ran the freaking BK car.
Yep.
The BK car.
I knew that stumped you guys.
Yeah, so a bunch of different people drove it.
So Paul Menard.
That's not the answer.
No, I know.
What's the answer for Menard's Burger King?
Matt DiBenedetto.
No, get out of here with that crap, Alex. What are you trying to do to me?
You got to make the game, man.
Matt DiBenedetto.
Yeah, he did. I mean, he Wood Brothers Menards car. Correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Jeez.
The Red Bull Menards.
This is probably the toughest one on the board, I thought.
Is it?
Yeah. Red Bull
is it
Menards.
Scott Speed?
No, that's a good guess, though.
Yeah.
Kind of a scary driver.
Like that. Who else ran a Red
it's,
Bull?
It's A.J. Allmendinger?
Nope.
Oh, what a good guess.
He ran Menards for Robbie Gordon's team. It's not Robbie Gordon, though. And then he ran Red Bull as like a relief driver.
PJ Jones?
Not Red Bull. That's a good guess. He was Menards, though.
Yeah. He was a relief driver for...
He was full-time driver, but during these sponsorships, he was a relief driver.
When he was a relief driver for...
Red Bull, when Vickers was out.
For Vickers. Mark Martin?
No.
He was a relief driver also for Robbie Gordon.
I don't know if he was relief, but he ran Robbie's car.
Was it a backup car or his?
Just his seven car. Seven. Later in those years. Jeez, told you, it's an obscure one. It? Reed Sorensen.
Oh, we'd have never got that.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah.
Never.
That's the hardest one.
I'm glad you put me down quick on that.
The Red Bull Budweiser.
Red Bull Budweiser. That's
Vickers.
Middle right.
No, that's not Vickers. That's Casey Kane.
Yes, it is.
Casey Kane, right.
Dale's good. These sponsors.
Right. Yeah, dude. Yeah, screw that game.
All right, so I'm tied up 2-2 there.
I like that.
Yep, 2-2.
I don't even want to archive this episode.
I got to find a new topic now because we got to switch off sponsors. They were tough.
All right, so that was a lot of fun playing Guess the Driver. And, again, I think I'm better at this one.
Yeah.
You're better at the other one. So why don't we go back now that it's 2-2, I believe.
Yeah.
We'll go back to Mike's game that he's good at, right? Give him home field advantage. Round five.
It's the same game. What do you mean?
It's with race teams, he's saying.
With the race team. You're better at that.
You're better at the
I'm better at the sponsors. You're better at the teams. So we're going to – it's 2-2. We're even up to score. We're going to go back to race teams next week. Round number five.
That's a good idea. There's one that we haven't done that I'm afraid to even mention because he would wipe the floor with me, and that's car numbers.
We could do car numbers too.
Let's do car numbers for a couple of weeks.
Somebody recommended crew chiefs too.
Ooh. Dude, this could last forever.
This
I love
it. Yeah, this
unlimited one. While we figure that out, let's get to our Short Track Insider with Hannah Newhouse.
Welcome back to another episode of Short Track Insider. Well, where we took the weekend off last week, the racing industry most definitely did not. Short tracks everywhere opening up their seasons. A lot of guys finally getting the opportunity to hit the racetrack with Mother Nature, either delaying the start of seasons or tracks opening. But first and foremost, the official debut of the High Limit Series, of course, that being Kyle Larson and Brad Sweet's Sprint Car Series, finally able to open up their season at Lakeside. And again, that was a Tuesday evening race. Right outside of Kansas City, $50,000 was on the line for one driver, over 50 cars making the call, and it was Gio Selzy who was able to capture that inaugural win. They race in 2 weeks at 34 Raceway, but then into the weekend, plenty of races still took place, including that at World of Outlaws at I-55, only Friday after Mother Nature rained out Saturday. I mean, we saw Pass at New Hampshire, SRL at Tucson, plenty of races throughout the weekend, and that just sets the stage for this upcoming weekend. Another busy weekend across the short track racing world. Really races all week long, but of course if you're listening to this, it's probably either dropped on Thursday or later on the week. So let's just start with Thursday. World of Outlaw late models are finally back in action after being rained out since essentially February at Speed Weeks. They will start their week off at 411 Speedway right outside of Knoxville. Then they double down at Talladega Short Track. That's right. NASCAR is also at Talladega. So if you happen to be at the NASCAR race, as soon as everything's done at the big track, make your way over to the short track, just right across the street for some dirt racing. They'll have 360 sprint cars as well as the late models. Knoxville also opening up their season finally and in collaboration with the World of Outlaws NOS Energy Sprint Cars. So Friday, Saturday at Knoxville for those. You can watch both of those races on Dirt Vision. Lucas Oil Late Models was initially supposed to have a race in Tri-City on Friday. That has been canceled. So on Saturday, they are headed to Macon. We've also got the USAC Midgets at Kokomo both Friday and Saturday. And Cars Tour, after a couple weeks off, back in action right here in our backyard at Hickory. From what I have heard, and again, as I record this, I have not seen that entry list, but I have heard it is a pretty gnarly one. So if you're in the area, definitely make sure to get out there, watch that. You can watch, of course, everything Cars Tour related on Flow Racing. I'd forgotten to mention it. Lucas Oil on Flow Racing as well as the USAC Midgets. The Northwest Super Late Model Series is at Wenatchee this weekend for the Leonard Evans 150, and also some ARCA racing taking place. ARCA West will be at Kern County Raceway Park right outside of Bakersfield. Man, and it is a absolutely beautiful facility. I always love that facility, whether I'm watching it on TV or having been the opportunity to get out there myself. They are Saturday this weekend. You can watch them on Flow Racing. And then, of course, in collaboration with all things NASCAR at the big track, ARCA is at Talladega on Saturday afternoon. You can watch them usually on Flow Racing as well. And one driver who's been making her way through the ranks, that is Amber Balkin. She's teamed up with Venerini for a handful of races this week or this season. And we talked to her going into this weekend on what to expect and what a racetrack like Talladega means to her.
I have one goal and one goal only when it comes to Talladega, and that is to win. I know that Venturini Motorsports is bringing me a fast number 15 Icon Direct car. And with the speed we showed at Daytona and the learning and studying that I've done through these past few months, I feel really confident in my progression as a driver and also really confident in what my team has put together for me. I've been working really closely with everyone and calling a lot of people and getting just as much feedback and information as I can going into this race. So I have really high expectations for myself. I think my team does too. I'm with a team that really believes in me. And as a driver, that's all you can ask for is having the people around you believe in you and know that you can get the job done. And so now it's just my job to prove that I can do it. So we're going to give it our all at Talladega. And I'm really, really looking forward to this race.
Of course, while ARCA primarily focuses on all short track things, just like we do, it is cool to see these drivers get the opportunity to race at some of these tracks that short track racers essentially dream of. And one of those, of course, being Talladega. So on Sunday, if Thursday, Friday, and Saturday was not enough for you, the Pro All-Star Series is at Oxford Plains Speedway up in Maine, and the USAC Sprint Cars will be at IRP, otherwise known as Lucas Oil. And again, all things USAC, you can watch on Flow Racing. And we'll just give you one more while we're at it. High Limit, of course, we'd mentioned it at the top of the show. They're at 34 Raceway on Tuesday evening. So that is available on Flow Racing. It's their second race of the season, and man, it's just some cool things that they've been able to implement this year, as well as USAC Sprint Cars at Texarkana on Wednesday on Flow Racing. Man, we're finally hitting that point of the season. There is racing almost every single day of the week. We'll cover it again next week and tell you where you can watch here on Short Track Insider.
That's a great job, Hannah. Awesome to hear everything going on in grassroots racing around the country. We got a lot of cool things coming up this weekend. Hickory Motor Speedway Cars Tour. I'm going to go and watch that in person. But if you can't be at Hickory at the racetrack, you can tune in on Flow and watch that. 8 p.m. is when the features start. There'll be a last chance race cranking up about 7:15. So tune in around 7 o'clock on Flow to watch the Cars Tour this weekend at Hickory.
On that note, also, Dirt Vision is now putting Door Bumper Clear on there, and so they broadcast the World Outlaws, so yep. That's some good stuff there.
I subscribe to both.
Yeah.
And what a great world we live in to be able to basically watch local grassroots racing all across the country. That was not available to us literally just years ago.
That's right.
And something that we wished would be possible that we thought would never happen. And so now to be able to tune in and watch these races is incredible. So we're so lucky. I think we take that for granted a little bit. We're going to play one more game. We're going to play this new game you got. Stump the Swab. No, not Stump the Swab. It's kind of like Stump the Swab.
I love Stump the Swab.
I do too. That was a good show.
Yeah, it was.
Stump the Download.
And this is from fans. They've asked. They've brought in some questions.
Oh, so I love this.
These are crowdsourced. So, you guys can work as a team for this one.
Thank you.
Yes, and you guys have to come down.
Okay, let me get my pen.
Your pen.
You have 2 minutes to come up and answer these, okay?
Yep.
So, you guys have the questions.
Okay.
We do?
You can just ask us.
Yeah. Can you name the 10 winningest car numbers in NASCAR Cup history? And this is from Michael Fields.
And we can discuss
out loud to as a team. Yeah. Can you come up with them?
I think the 11 is definitely one. Like, I think 11 is up
11's
there.
Correct. It's 11, number one.
43.
Number two.
3.
Yep.
17.
17 is not on the list.
Oh. 21.
21 is number six.
24.
24, number five.
48,
number seven. All right, you're six down. You got four more to go.
18.
18 is not on the list.
20.
20 is not on the list.
Two.
Two is tied for third.
Damn.
With the three. Each have 101 wins.
All right.
So. I'll say the 11. Yep. What about the one? I'm going to say four.
Four is on the list. Number 10.
Good job, Mike.
So you're looking for number...
We're two away.
You're two away. You're only 50 seconds in, and they are numbers 8 and 9 on the all-time list.
Number 9.
Nope.
Number 1.
Nope.
See, if we just start naming numbers, we could probably do
you
this.
You probably could.
Right.
You got 1 minute left.
Not the 7. 8.
Not 8.
I was talking to myself.
I don't know. I don't know.
Did you say 18 already? You did.
He did. You have 30 seconds.
And you said 21. Oh, 25.
Incorrect. Nope.
No.
Nope.
27.
Nope.
42.
Nope. 15 22. Seconds. 22 is on the list.
22.
Number 8, you have 15 seconds.
Oh, dang.
One more number. They are ninth all time with 83 wins.
That's a lot of wins for one number. It's going to be obvious.
6?
Correct.
There you go,
with
Mike.
2 seconds to spare.
Mike,
good job. Could not stump Mike and Dale
strong.
There. All right, the next question is from Sean Krasinski. Mm-hmm. Can you name an active Cup Series driver that comes from the following state? So number one is Arizona, and there's three drivers from the state.
Arizona. You know, the old NASCAR hotbed. Say the question one more time.
Can you name an active Cup Series driver that comes from the following state? And the first state is Arizona.
Arizona. An active driver.
Active Cup Series driver.
Jeez.
Arizona has three of them.
I think Kyle Larson.
Kyle Larson's not from Arizona. No.
Not from Tucson, Arizona. Where's Kyle Larson from?
California. California.
Okay. Yeah, that's right.
Somebody's got to come from Phoenix.
Two of them come from Phoenix.
Yeah. Somebody's got to come
the from other from Tucson.
I know this, actually. Hold up. I know this. Phoenix. Have they won?
Two of them have won.
Dang. All right, so they're winners. All right.
One's kind of embarrassing you guys haven't gotten. But
I know. I know it is. I feel embarrassed already.
Yeah.
You have 45 seconds left.
Oh, Alex Bowman.
Correct. He's from Tucson, Arizona.
All right.
That's the one that we're embarrassed about.
Do
you want to try to guess
the
other
Phoenix
two?
One is
tell us the other two.
The other two are Michael McDowell and J.J. Yaley, both from Phoenix, Arizona.
Truex is the answer to the next one.
Yes.
The driver from New Jersey.
The state from New Jersey is Martin Truex Jr.
Yeah. Oklahoma. Somebody from Oklahoma.
Yes. Yeah, so the last state on this list is Oklahoma. One driver is from Oklahoma. They're from Norman, Oklahoma. Hmm. If that helps you at all.
It's somebody. Have they won?
They have won.
Yeah. Somebody. We do know this. It's so obscure. All right, hold on. Is it Reddick?
No. Reddick's also from California.
Oh, you're right, he is. Have we had him on the download?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
He's a recent winner.
I know. I was thinking Reddick.
Mm-hmm.
This year.
Mm-hmm. That was a big hint, actually.
Yeah, it would be.
Is it Stenhouse?
Nope.
He's from Ottawa Branch, Mississippi. He's Mississippi, but there's somebody that looks like from it's Stenhouse.
What does an Oklahoma person look like?
There's a good movie line that I'm not going to repeat about people that come from Oklahoma.
Jeez, who is it?
All right.
You have 1 minute left.
We got this. All right. Who won California?
Kyle?
Kyle Larson?
Bush.
Kyle Busch. All right. Who won Atlanta?
To 24, I think.
Well, he did not come from Oklahoma. We know that. Yeah, Byron won some of those races, so it's not him. Who is this?
30 seconds.
Don't know.
No. Hold on. We got 30
Mike's
seconds.
Mike's not giving up. Think what race usually happens in Oklahoma? That just confused you more.
The Oklahoma Land Rush?
The Chili Bowl?
World Finals Rodeo? I don't know what.
The Chili Bowl? All right.
Oh, Christopher Bell.
Correct.
Yeah.
I didn't ever guess that.
All right. So this question is from Michaela Morris. She says, 12 drivers have won the Daytona 500 multiple times. Name all 12.
All 12?
Do it.
Denny Hamlin, Dale Jr.
Correct.
Sterling.
Those two. Sterling, yes.
All right. Jeff Gordon.
Yep.
Jimmy Johnson.
Yep.
That's
five.
That's all that is. God
damn.
All right.
Cale Yarborough.
Correct.
Richard Petty.
Correct. Won seven times.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Pearson?
No.
Didn't. Daytona 500.
Daytona
500.
Just the Daytona 500. So multiple times.
It's not Darrell.
12 drivers. You've gotten
Harvick?
Six and five. Harvick? Nope.
Nope.
You have five more.
All right.
1 minute to go.
Wait, we have five more?
Yeah.
Yeah. You've gotten seven.
Dale Jarrett.
Correct.
Yes. Good job, Mike.
Think about more Yates. Is there any more Yates?
Ernie Irvin.
Nope.
No.
Nope.
30 seconds.
Bobby Allison.
Correct.
Nice.
So you have three more. They've all won it twice.
Okay. Just start naming, you know, Hall of Fame, like Fireball Roberts or...
No. 10 seconds.
All right, we're done on this one.
No, not even a guess.
That's 10. We're missing two.
We're missing three.
Go ahead.
All right. Bill Elliott, Michael Waltrip, and Matt Kenseth.
Matt! I was going to say his name, but I thought, you know.
I didn't think Kenseth won.
I got the Harvick one wrong, I was thinking, man, I bet Matt only won it once, but two-time winner.
Bill, Matt, yep. And Waltrip.
Man, sorry, Michael.
Got the Waltrip.
I thought Michael's going to be so mad.
And he should be. So bad.
And that was Stump the Download.
You got a
good game. So that was really the only one we missed.
That's the only one.
The Oklahoma thing, actually.
You got it in the last second.
We needed hints.
Yeah.
I like that game
because
in that game, you're not trying to divide us.
Yes. Like you guys work as a team.
Other game.
Thank you.
That other game, you're trying to divide us. And
friction.
I want chaos. Cause friction
at the table.
Yeah. I want chaos. That's what I want.
Then he brings us together.
Yeah. That's what Download does.
I got to be honest with you, though. Like, coming up with that sponsor game, the tic-tac-toe cannot be.
It is, but there's no way that you.
But when you're in it, it's a lot. But once you're in it, you're in it. You can't step away from that.
Every time I get out, it pulls me back.
Yeah,
in.
You're like you're always one away too.
I figure that you know it'd be pretty easy using Racing Reference or something. I don't know how you would go to find a place that would tell you just sponsors and the drivers that drove for them.
It's Racing Reference basically, but you'd think, and then you get down to like. One of them, and you're like, who has not driven for Pennzoil before? It bothers you.
All right, everybody, that was a lot of fun. Our Thursday show is a wrap. Is that the name of the show?
That's a wrap.
Is a wrap.
Is a wrap? No. No.
It's our Thursday show.
No.
It's not, a wrap.
That doesn't feel like the
no?
name.
Okay,
no.
Damn it.
No.
So close.
No. It's hard.
I'm going to need Alex to come up with some more
so
names.
So close. All right. I'm looking around the room for names.
Really?
Pinball machine.
The pinball machine right, show. Right.
Next option, Dick Pitt. Anybody want that? Dick Pitt on Thursdays.
Nobody can see what you're talking about, Mike, so that's going to be really strange for the list, for the crowd, the audio right. crowd.
Gas Thursday.
It's the one that's not on camera. He points out, too.
Right. Oh, man, the names here. God dang. Speak to us.
Speak to us.
Bojangles Studio. Yeah. All right. We can't wait to see y'all next week. Are we doing this show again next week?
Yeah, why not? Right.
Do we have a guest?
We do.
Do you know who it is?
Nope. Who is it? Anybody know? Tiff.
I forgot.
Who is it?
Oh, my goodness. Can we wish that into existence? I did.
Yes, you did. Yeah.
Tony Stewart's coming here next week?
Tony Stewart
on the Dale Jr. Download next week. What a banger. We'll see you then. Check out Dirty Mo Media. Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram.